Just when you thought it was safe to go looking for a podcast, you stumbled across us. Fantastic. You're in the right place. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you found the number one podcast in all the land. Okay, just Mississippi, but we're going with that until documentation proves otherwise. Now strap in for the journey from the lower levels of Ridgewood Recording Studios. We are World of Wally. Enjoy.
All right, everybody, we're back again today with another episode, World of Wally. Guys, this is the last installment, 2021. We're finally getting out of 2021. I know we're already in 2022, but we had so many episodes, and we were going to try to get them finished up before the season was over. Just didn't work out. This is the final installment of Season 5, and just like we did around Halloween, we had a What in the World or a Where Are They Now, just a catch-up reunion-type episode with the Welptons. Well, today we're going to finish up. We ask you guys, well, who were some of the previous guests that you guys wanted to hear from, kind of get caught up with. We narrowed it down to 4 guests out of about 30 selections that I gave you guys. And except for one, we were able to get everybody else on the show today. The one that we were not able to get was Sean Kanan. And because of a contractual situation he had with CBS, we had to get previous approval and all that kind of stuff. And you guys know how that paperwork goes. And it would have taken forever to get that lined up. So we just went without Sean. Maybe we'll catch up with him sometime in the future. The 3 guests we were able to procure today, Miss Charlie Marie from way back early in the seasons. Also, another early guest in the show's history was Mr. Bill Foster. Amazing stuff. Bill Foster actually holds the record right now for the most listen to or downloads or whatever how you want to look at that, the most interactions on his episode to date with the show. So he has that largest number. And the one that came in second in that was also one you guys wanted to bring back, and that's Kobe White. And we were able to get in touch with all 3 of those folks. We were able to catch up and have an amazing conversation with all 3 of them. So guys, after the break, What in the World, the Season 5 final episode, and a reunion show of sorts. So after the break, guys. Okay, guys, the next guest we have on the episode today, this guy was harder to get nailed down to talk to me for just a few minutes than Bill Foster was. And guys, after you heard Bill's story, you can see why hard it was to get him. He's got so much going on. But our next guest, one of my very first episode interviews ever, and it also is one of the most successful interviews that we ever had, a local kid here that's making great, Mr. Kobe White. Kobe, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good. I'm excited to be on.
I'm excited for you to be on because I learned one thing very quickly. After Kobe White left Marion County, he forgot about us because that guy, he took a rocket ship to the top when he left here headed to spring training. Because the last time we talked, you were about 2 weeks out from going to spring training, correct?
Correct.
All right. Why don't you get everybody caught up on this crazy ride you've been on since we spoke last?
Okay. So I went to spring training. Really didn't know what to expect because obviously the year prior, shortened COVID year, didn't go through the full thing. So we had a full month of spring training, just kept working, and had a really good spring training. Didn't allow an earned run. I threw 11 innings. I kept keeping up with my stats, hoping that if they were good enough, I'd end up somewhere I wanted to. And broke camp in low A. It's bad for me to say this, but I was a little disappointed. I felt like I did better than that, but everything's earned, you know. So went to low A, did very well. I really liked Charleston. We were in Charleston, South Carolina. Really good city. Not too crowded, but it was a big place. It's kind of spread out. Very good baseball stadium there. Actually, Bill Murray is the owner. Ghostbusters?
Oh, the Bill Murray. Bill Murray.
And I was able to meet him, so that was pretty cool. And then about 6 weeks in, get a call, hey, you're going to Bowling Green. And I went with, 3 other teammates. So we called 4 up at one time. to High A, Bowling Green, Kentucky, and was there for the longest amount of time of any team this year. I think it was around 2 months.
So Bowling Green, Kentucky, it sounds like a metropolis. A lot to do there, right?
Not very much, sir.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because I actually spoke to your father not long after you made it to Bowling Green, and he actually made a statement. He says, man, we went up there and checked Colby out. He did fantastic. I said, you caught all the sights there? He said, they ain't nothing to catch but the ball field. That's it.
Yeah, it's not much to do, but Nashville's about an hour south of there. So we went to Nashville twice. First time I've ever been to Nashville. So a lot of new cities this year. So after 2 months of that, when I first got to Bowling Green, struggled a little bit, had a couple outings, got hit around, learned how to pitch better as the aspect of throwing a slider in any count, being unpredictable, and learned the opposing team's hitters because we played the Braves affiliate a lot and then played a lot of them in AA. And then when I got a call to Montgomery, I felt at home. You know, you go to Jackson, you go to Biloxi, but there was 3 weeks left in the regular season. So finished those 3 weeks up there. I was actually in Jackson when I got the call up to AAA, and did very well, and actually did better in AA. And it was a lot, I don't like to use the word easy, but it was more comfortable for me, and the game got a little more comfortable to compete with. I had a bunch of family and friends there that Tuesday night. I got the call. So,
So just a quick recap. Baseball fans will know exactly what we're talking about. We're going to have some folks listening to this that have no idea what you're just talking about, that journey and how magical it was. So let's recap real quick. Okay, you are drafted. You reported to where?
I signed in St. Petersburg, Florida. That's where the Big League Stadium is.
Okay.
Signed in the Big League Stadium. Stayed there for 3 days.
And then
they flew me out to Connecticut. I can't remember some town in Connecticut. It might have been Bristol.
Could have been, yeah.
And then, so woke up at 4 that morning, caught my flight at like 5:30, and ended up getting to the field right in time for stretch when we were playing in Connecticut. Went through a whole, you know, pregame and practice and all that, and actually pitched in that game that night.
Okay.
I was exhausted. Pitched one inning. One inning, I struck out the first guy I faced, and then walked two and got pulled. Pitch count, bad outing.
Okay.
But just learned how to work with being tired. You know.
Okay.
That's a big thing.
So you went from there to where?
I went from so we was on the road. That was Hudson Valley in 19.
Okay, Hudson Valley. Yeah, the Renegades. I believe is their mascot. Then you went to what? You ended up in Florida after that, didn't you?
Well, we just went to I did two camps. I did a pitch design camp, and I did Instructs that year.
Okay.
So, Instructs was about a month. Basically, all it is, oh, yeah, is instructions.
I just realized, you're talking about when you originally got started. Technically, that was the end of last year, because that was the COVID year that affected everything. They essentially shut y'all down.
Well, no, it was 19, and then we finished up 19, and then COVID shut us down in spring training of 2020.
Okay.
And then we were there 2 weeks, and then it got shut down. Okay. But this is once I got, you know.
So they brought you out of spring training this past season. You went to low A, which for those that don't know what we're talking about, low A is where you, the beginner's beginner. There's low A, there's high A, there's regular A, there's double A, and there's triple A. And then there's, of course, the majors. Mm-hmm. Now, where did we end up this season?
Triple A.
Triple A. And where is that located at?
That is in Durham, North Carolina.
That's right. Which is, you also had an opportunity to play on the field made famous by the movie Bull Durham.
Oh, yeah. They got a bull out in left.
Which is also, that's what I'm saying. You've had a crazy ride, because let me put this in perspective for the listeners, those that know a lot about baseball and those that don't. For him to have started where he did at the beginning of the season and make it all the way to Triple A is, well, it's mind-boggling to be real, because you and I joked about this the first time we had a conversation. You know, we thought the possibility of double A, you know, and he and I agreed on it. Double A would be a fantastic end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
But to get that call up to Triple A, because so now where are we when the new season starts? Where are you going to be at? Are you going, you're getting a spring training call?
I will go to a big league spring training in February. I hadn't got a report date yet, but all the AAA goes.
Now, where do you guys report to?
It'll be Port Charlotte, Florida.
Port Charlotte, Florida.
and be about a month's a big league camp. It'll be pretty cool to get in the big league spring training games and face big league, you know, hitters. That's right. You know? So, and then hopefully I break camp with the big leagues. It should, you know, just the way contracts work and all that is shifting more toward me not. But I'm obviously going to work and prepare and do the best I can. But they have a plan before they see a performance, you know. So, and then if I don't make the big league club, I'll go to minor league spring training for a month after that. And then after that, the season will start. So, so it'll be 2 months down there if I don't make the big league club. If I make the big league club, I'm opening day Tropicana Field. So,
that's serious right there. Yeah. All right. So, if you don't make it, though, you go back. Now, will they actually take you back to AAA level, or will you go back to AA for a couple of starts and then back to AAA?
It'll be AAA.
Be back to AAA. Mm-hmm. So you'll be spending a little bit more time in Durham, North Carolina, sounds mm-hmm. like. Unless, of course, you start next season like you ended this season. And we were just going to kind of brush over this. I was just going to mention it, but I think we need the listeners to understand the reason you are where you are right now. I love how you brush over things and you don't make a big deal about accomplishments. Your humility is almost to the point of sickening at this point. You need to be a little bit more haughty when it comes to stuff like that. Guys, the gentleman that is telling us about his journey right now finished his season as the minor league reliever of the year. Not of his affiliation or his class, or although you did, you were also named the reliever of your organization too, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes, sir.
That would have been an accomplishment in itself.
Oh, yeah.
But you were named the reliever of the year across all affiliations in the minor league system. And with what percentage of the vote, sir, did you receive?
44.
44% out of how many, sir?
There was, what was it, six of them in it or five of them?
Six. I think it was six. I think it was, I checked it. I think it was six guys.
Gotcha.
So you got 44%. There was another gentleman in the Braves organization that got somewhere in the 30 percentile. Mm-hmm. So, and then the rest of them were just a bunch of scrubs that they just threw in there. So, it's pretty insane, though, the ride that you've been on to this point. And, of course, if you were writing this story for Hollywood, which it looks like you are writing your story for Hollywood, it's going to end with you, Tropicana Field, possibly opening weekend, throwing some relief for the
Tampa Bay Rays. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
That would be insane. So, how's the family dealing with it?
They don't really – we talk about it, but they don't really acknowledge it too much. My dad told me this is random. I remember this, and so throughout my life, my dad hasn't really openly said stuff to me about stuff.
Right.
And I'm
he
glad
tries to keep you humble, and he's done a fantastic job of it. I might add.
Yeah, and I'm glad he does that. Well, anytime he says little things, I get thinking about it. Man, I hope it don't turn south from here. But he says, "Son, I think you're gonna make it." And I wanted to kick that out. I didn't even want to think about that, because when you really think about it, you get too comfortable where you are, and there's no growth in comfort. So, you got to climb the ladder. And if you ever think you have something, it'll come back and it'll bite you in the butt, you know. So,
Like I said, in this area, you know, you have plenty of supporters. Your parents, of course, are always going to be your largest supporters. And I will say this about your mom. Your mom's got some real stick-to-itiveness about her, because I watched her post stuff on social media. Seems like from every corner of the known world as you were pitching.
Oh, yeah.
She probably watched, I'm going to say she had to watch more games than anybody in your family this year. Because it seemed like everywhere you were showing up, she was showing up too. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, they both, like after the games, I'd get messages from my dad saying it was stuff he saw or stuff he thought I should have done. And then my mom, she would, you know, good job. Even the bad ones, good job.
Well, that's her job. Her job is to keep you built up. And he's not tearing you down. He's just giving you constructive criticism.
Oh, yeah. Well, it helps. That's the thing, is even a good night, you got to learn. Bad night, you learn too.
Well, you mentioned the night that you got the AAA call up was actually, I believe, the night previous. My wife and I actually attended a game that in Jackson, because I had waited, or actually Pearl, excuse me. I didn't mean to disrespect Pearl, Mississippi. It's Pearl, Mississippi, not Jackson. And We were hoping you were going to get in, but as I noticed one thing about the team you were playing for then, offensively, you guys really struggled at that level. Oh, yeah. And I knew it was going to be difficult for you to get in. And I truly believe maybe that's why they went ahead and moved you up to AAA, to see, because you weren't getting opportunities at the AA level.
Exactly.
So, hey, look at that. Some misfortune of others was fortunate for you. So.
Oh, yeah, it was a bad little spell for them for a little bit offensively. But that's what's crazy. You know, it goes in waves, and they went through a bad little wave right there. Mm-hmm. And they ended up getting out of them. Almost won the AA South championship.
Well, I noticed everybody on your position player on your team batted 220, but they had 30 home runs. It was just crazy. All right, so look. I know you're busy. I'm going to let you get out of here. But before you get out of here, as busy as you have been, you, sir, agreed to be part of a project that I'm working on personally through Wally Media Group. It is an actual podcast that's going to be done, and you're going to be featured in it because the name of the show is Brushing Them Back with Coby White. Now, I know you're busy, and I know it's going to be tough, but you said you were super excited about being part of it, and I hope you still are. Without giving away too much, if you want to drop a hint or two, we're going to be talking about baseball, but we're going to be talking about it in a different way. We're going to be talking about other aspects of baseball, not stuff on the field, but stuff surrounding the game itself. And we're going to go back and delve into some stuff all the way back to youth league. So, we're bringing in some pretty interesting guests. Now, we don't have everybody confirmed, but why don't you drop a few hints on who might possibly show up over the shows?
Well, there could be a couple big leaguers in there. Obviously, going to be some guys I've played with, grow them relations with them, and yeah, it's a bunch of different backgrounds. You know, we're accustomed to always hearing, you know, a guy grew up here, he went and played in the big leagues or went and did this. Just kind of put life into perspective on how a lot of these guys grew up and what they had to face as far as adversity, growing up and all that. And I think that's what's pretty cool about people's stories is you never know what happened to lead to something like that. They just assumed that they were always the best player. They was always, you know, looked upon like this. And a lot of them worked and worked and worked and finally got to the big leagues. You know, like I played with a guy last year. He was actually an independent league player. Didn't get drafted. Didn't sign a free agent deal or anything like that, and played 2 or 3 years, and then finally got signed by the big league club. So it's pretty insane some of the stories you'll hear, but we'll feature them and Brushing Them Back, and I'm excited to get going in.
That'll be, first episode will be January 27th of 2022, and that show will be running the second Wednesday of every month, starting after that in February throughout the end of the year, and it'll be one episode per month, so you'll have a whole month for it to marinate, and you get an opportunity to kind of soak up all the good storytelling that you're going to hear with this show. And, Coby, I can't thank you enough, brother. I appreciate you coming by. I know how busy you are. Even though you're not on the diamond right now, you do have a lot of obligations here at home, so I appreciate you coming by.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Have a great day, guy.
Hey, guys. Your host, William, here. Quick question. Are you a First and Second Amendment kind of person? Because if you are, our new affiliate partner, Tactical Brotherhood, is your place. If you're looking for ammo, guns, or gear, check out the link in the episode notes and enter code PATRIOT15 at checkout to receive that 15% discount. Also, Tactical Brotherhood, veteran-owned company. Now, back to the episode.
Okay, everybody, we're back today. Our next guest being featured on the What in the World, the 2021 Viewer's Choice Reunion episode, is a gentleman that I talked to quite a while ago after I did some checking. The last time he and I actually talked to record his original episode was way back in April of 2020. The episode was I Should Have Been a Cowboy. It, to date, is the largest download episode that we've had here at World of Wally to date at over 900 downloads, and that aired on June 11th of 2020, and I just happened to have Bill on the phone, and we're going to try to get caught up. We were talking before we got started. If he just listed everything he'd accomplished in the last 20 months, it might take 2 days, so we're going to do the best we can. Bill, how you doing today, brother?
Hey, doing better. here. Thank you very much for having me on, and it really makes me feel good that I'm the number one download. Appreciate that.
I know, but crazy thing. You know, just thinking, old retired school teacher and turned into a movie star, and so you start off as an actor. Now you're a producer. You also do some directing, and like I said, from humble beginnings, I guess you're getting everything that you deserve, brother, because I know what a hard worker you are, and I've been following your progress, and I'm just absolutely blown away with it.
Well, thank you very much. It doesn't come from sitting on the couch watching TV.
That is true. Any of my listeners that have been following Bill's journey, it's unbelievable the amount of time. If you'd have known it was going to be this hard, you'd have just stayed in education, wouldn't you?
I've thought about that several times.
All right, so let's go from way back in April of 2020 when we talked and you were telling us about how your journey was just sort of getting started. Let's just jump right in there and kind of give an update to the listeners about where you're at right now, and let's fill in as many holes between April of 2020 and today as possible. So
okay.
I believe here's a good starting point. We were working on a project. It was called Showdown at the Brazos, I believe,
yes.
Right? That was the one we originally talked about. Now, little did you know that was going to kind of launch you into the stratosphere. So let's kind of pick up there and let's kind of work our way through it. So what happened from that project forward?
Okay, that project right now is actually in its final editing phase. I did not realize just how long editing took when I got into this business. Of course, we don't use a full editing company, we find individuals, and it's in its final editing phase where, you know, they're adding all the special effects sounds, and, you know, then I've had to approve them and then disapprove them, and they go back, and so it's been going on for a couple of years, but finally in the last editor, he has it in his hands, and it's just probably a month from being finished as far as the what they call the screener goes, and then the musician takes over. And the new trailer from that movie has won several awards, international and American. We shot a movie right after that, a short movie called I've Got Your Six. And we used all military veterans in that movie. It's about a military veteran, and we used all military veterans in the movie. And that actually won a Remy, which is the equivalent to the Academy Award for Independent Movies. And I was also selected as Director of the Month in Milan, Italy for that movie. And so, you know, that's won awards across the city and in America, too. So we've racked up somewhere in nearly 50 laurels on our project since we've talked last.
All right, so when we talked originally, this was just going to be a little side project or a side hustle or whatever you want to call it. You just an open casting call that you showed up to, and you thought you might do a little acting here and there, you know, some bit parts, and then it exploded on you, and then you got involved in more of the directing and the production of these projects. So how hard is it to wear all these hats now?
Well, the hat I like best is the directing, but, you know, being a small company, which we're on the verge of not being small anymore, but I've really enjoyed it. You know, I've learned so much from the beginnings of it all, but I really do love the directing side of it. Fell in love with that side. Still do a little acting, been in a few movies, won Best Supporting Actor for a role I did for a friend of mine in a couple of different contests. But, you know, just seeing all the ins and outs. And so when we talked to a lot of people from different areas here the last month or two from different companies, excuse me, but then they start trying to say, we got to do this. I'm like, okay, that won't pay for nothing. You know, they try to throw some, they think, high dollar to you. Knowing now, I'm like, well, that won't even get us out of the door. And we took I've Got Your Six, and back last spring when it was raining so much and couldn't get out, and so I turned it into a feature movie, wrote about 100 pages in 1 week. That's been a kind of a record for me. But that thing has really taken off, and it's nearly 100% on making finals in every contest it's in. It's probably at least 60 to 70% as far as making the finals. And it's just something that you fall in love with. Turned into a heck of a romance story, and I'm not a romance author. I mean, I'm more of a Wild West, shoot 'em up, you know, Roy Rogers, John Wayne type rider.
So I don't have to worry about you starting to write maybe some Harlequins on the side then. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't want to do that.
I hoped when you were talking it, a rom-com wasn't in your future, so.
No.
Hey, for my listeners, you hear Bill's struggling right now. Bill's got some respiratory issues because he's so busy, he can't even take off time to go to the hospital, but he took time to talk to us, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, I've had COVID twice. The last time I had it, didn't have a whole lot of issues with it, but just can't shake it, seems
right,
like. And I know a lot of people are in that same boat. So we're going to get there one way or the other. We're going to get there.
Hey, just a quick plug. You were talking about your directing and your production. What's the name of your production company?
It's Quail Whistle Production Company.
Quail Whistle. Now, should I expect in the near future for you to produce a movie or a television series or a short film based loosely on maybe a Yellowstone type theme? Because I know that's the big deal now, as everybody's wanting to bootleg off of Yellowstone. Right? You're not going to go that direction, are you?
I don't want to steal anybody else's thunder, but I will say I am got back into the acting a little bit, and I am on 1883.
Oh. Really?
So
that's some insider trading stuff. You're going to figure out everything that's going on there and then come home and maybe write your spinoff. So
we've got one that is in the Rockies, but it has nothing to do with Yellowstone. I know Yellowstone is really popular. I don't take anything from anybody, but
right,
it's really hard for me to take off somebody else's idea and try to expand on my own. I try to just do my own thing. And, what's called Christmas in the Rockies is the one I wrote. It's won several awards. My son, he challenged me to write something like that, so I did. And then my business partner challenged me to write something like On Golden Pond, and that's where Clara's Garden came out. We've got a Western version of that, and we've got a major Western star, I can't say who, he's going to look at three or four of those screenplays and decide which one he wants to be in. And so we're hoping that will really kick us off.
Well, let me touch on a couple of projects you have going on, and I'm not sure which project he was affiliated with. I heard you say one of your Hollywood-type friends, and I think I know who that is. Would that happen to be Jeff Davis, Jeff F. Davis, J.F. Davis?
No, sir, but he has signed on with us.
Well, the reason I ask is because I interviewed Jeff Davis not long after I talked to you a few months down the road, and he actually, with no solicitation from me, he actually mentioned you by name with a project he was affiliated with. So it was kind of weird how those two paths crossed, and I didn't even solicit him to give you that sweet plug, but he did. He talked very highly of you. That's why I was asking.
Well, he's a really good actor, and he's in Showdown, and he signed letter of intent to be in I've Got Your Six, a feature movie, and a part of that, and we really look forward to getting that off the ground. You know, we've had people that want to sell the script for us and all that kind of stuff, but we just haven't decided we'd rather do it ourselves, you know, just get funding. I thought we had full funding for the full feature, and you know, you don't ever get the money until you sign the dotted line, and we just never could connect with that company, and so we just keep going forward. You know, we're not going to let one door stop us as we go forward. And you know, I've been writing a lot since we last visited, and you know, it's really scary to take that writing and let other people see it.
That's,
I mentioned
Clarence
Barton. It talks about, you know, the dad having Alzheimer's and possibly losing a ranch, that type of story.
Right.
And so, you know, try to touch on a lot of things people are going through right now.
Well, for the six people in the world that have lived under a rock the last year or so and have no idea what Yellowstone is and the spinoff of sorts, the origin story of Yellowstone, which is 1883, that features, and I believe, if I'm correct, that features Tim McGraw and Faith Hill as two of the main characters. Now,
Sam Elliott. And Billy Bob Thornton.
Right, which, you know, it's going to be a hit if Sam Elliott's involved in it. It can't. He doesn't touch anything that's not a hit, so.
And it was so good working with him. It was just amazing to be able to work with such a talent. Billy Bob Thornton, I'm in the section's called Hell's Half Acre, where it's focusing on Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
So I shot that back in, I guess, about August. And then we've got, next week we're filming, in, and I don't know exactly what the title of that series is, but we'll be out in West Texas all this next week.
So were you so impressive? Did you so impress the people with 1883 that that's going to be a recurring role, or was that just a one-off guest spot from the hottest, you know, like the hottest project guy in the country right now? How'd that work out? So
it's just mainly I'm just very lucky to be involved with it as a one of those extras that just I'm trying to soak it up like a sponge.
I see. You're one of those in the background, cameos that everybody, you're there, but they don't realize it until later when they watch it again. They go, that's Bill Foster.
So they're saying,
yeah, well, they flew you.
You start listing it on IMDb or whatever, and all of a sudden you're like, golly, yeah, there is quite a few. You can see me on the background. You know, millions of people have seen me, but not a lot of people know who I am just yet.
I can remember a long time ago, back about April of 2020, when we were talking about, I was very impressed that you had a spot role in Alita Battle Angel. I had to go back and watch it just to see if I could find you after you tell me where you were. And now look at you. You are you're the cowboy version of Martin Scorsese at this point.
Yes, well, and then I actually got to work behind the scenes on the movie, Killers of the Flower Moon. I wasn't an extra. I just helped haul wagons, get wagons ready. So I got to see that side of that movie project up in Oklahoma. And that was a lot of fun. We hauled probably 30 wagons to Texas on trailers and everything up to Oklahoma to that movie set. So got to see a lot of what goes into that side of it, just to set up before the cameras ever get there. Which I knew, but it was nice seeing others, another version of it.
Right. All right, so except for your showdown at the Brazos that you said it's within just weeks of being ready to be released, you said, right?
Yeah, it's within weeks of going to the musician.
Okay, all right. So how what's the timeline? When should we expect to see it?
Least.
Okay, so what's like your newest, hottest project you're working on right now?
We did a short. It's in the editor's hands. It's going to be on YouTube, so that'll be something people can see right away. It'll be before Christmas, and it has to do with COVID. And so we tried to do a little something a little artsy-fartsy in the modern-day Western with no talking. But it's not a silent movie. It's just there's not any – it's all acting. Shows the man's frustration not being able to go see his wife in the hospital due to COVID. You know how COVID had everything locked down a couple of years ago.
Right.
Where you couldn't go do anything. And so we just tried to hit on some of the frustrations of that and try to bring it home there. So that'll be on YouTube pretty quick. And so that'll be the first thing out, I'm sure. Working on a few other things. But the problem is, you shoot a short and then you start getting interested in making it a feature. So then you can't release your short because you don't want to spoil the waters for that feature. So
right.
It's enjoyable but frustrating at the same time because I know people want to see what we're producing, and I want to show them, but then again, our hands are tied as far as because we want to make it a feature. So pretty soon we're going to have some more out there.
Well, I would love to tell you that I understand exactly what you're going through, but I have no idea what it's like to be the man. I'm just glad I have the man on the phone talking to him right now.
Thank you very much.
All right, so a couple things. First of all, April 12th of 2020, the first time we spoke, I'm honored to say when people ask that I know Bill Foster because you are setting the world on fire. Two, I'm glad that when I contacted you again, you were kind enough to actually return my phone call. You actually remembered who I was, so that's a plus. That's a plus. And then now by the next time you and I talk, my number might not even be in your Rolodex anymore. I don't really know. So, all right. So, just two quick things. One, if you ever do anything anywhere close to the state of Mississippi or anywhere in the surrounding area, and you need a balding old white guy with a pot belly, I'm the perfect extra for that.
Gotcha.
And before you get out of here, why don't you tell everybody the easiest way to find your content?
Okay, you can go to our website, which is under construction, but does have some things on there. I tried to work on it the other day, and I gave my hands up. But it's quailwhistleproductions.com. And then you can always check out my Facebook page. That's where a lot of the awards are listed. That's where, and then you can also see my IMDb page. You know, I'm so busy, I can't keep those things up. I need to hire a secretary just to keep my web page and IMDb page all up to date. But those three areas there, you can really keep up with what's going on in the world of Quail Whistle Productions.
Well, I kind of figured by now you had at least three assistants. So,
well, I've got two partners, but they've got. I'm a secretary, and they won't let me because the budget won't allow it. But
well, Bill, I'm gonna tell you, brother, from our first conversation in April of 2020, when I was just talking to a newly retired school administrator that just wanted to be an actor, you know, here or there, and all that kind of stuff, and had dreams and aspirations of maybe directing and producing one day. I'm glad to see those dreams have been realized, and I wish you all the success in the world because you absolutely deserve it.
Well, thank you very much. For anybody that's wanting to do this out there, like I said, you just got to take the bull by the horns and get there and start and drive your own truck and get there. Because nobody's going to come to your house and say, hey, you want to come direct my movie? You know, you just got to get out there and get after it. And good work, hard work pays off.
Amen to that, brother. Bill, I can't thank you enough. And like I said, we'll be talking in the future, I'm pretty sure. Okay. So.
Well, thank you so much for having me back on the show. Look forward to it.
Have a great day, brother.
You too. Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, quick shout out to Timothy O. Davis of Ridgewood Recording Studios. His studio offers a full line of music production ranging from song demos and singles to fully produced albums. He focuses on excellence at every level of the recording and production process and will work with you for your project specific needs. So remember guys, Timothy O. Davis, reach out to him at timothydavis.org/Ridgewood Studios. Okay, everybody, and our next guest here on the reunion show of 2021, Miss Charlie Marie. Charlie, the first time we talked to her, July 10th, 2020, was when her episode aired. It was called Dreamcatcher, the Charlie Marie story. And we were talking just before we started recording. I believe she and I talked somewhere around the middle or the end of May of that year, 2020. So it's been way too long. She's got a million things going on, so let's get her on the show and so she can get us caught up. Charlie, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great. So excited to be back.
Yeah, we waited way too long to get you back on. I'm glad to see that the viewers decided they wanted to hear from you and get caught up with you. So back when we talked originally, we were just choked by the pandemic at that point. The industry itself was kind of, you know, in a stranglehold. You still had quite a bit going on, though. But I can only imagine now that everything's been kind of loosened up, you're probably so busy that these 10 or 15 minutes we're about to talk, you probably didn't have that to give us, but you were kind enough to come on. So go ahead, get us caught up on, first of all, how is everything? How is... Because you're still living out in the wacky west, so how is everything out there?
Everything's, you know, it's getting better. It's confusing. A lot of people are, you know, they're getting the vaccine. They're trying to stay healthy and do their best. So everybody, you know, everybody has different opinions about it. But the fact is we're all trying to do our best to stay healthy. So that's the short of it. Just if everybody tries to stay healthy, then, you know, everything should work out, hopefully. The best for everybody.
Well, being a huge talent, a movie star of sorts in your industry, how has it been getting back to work? Like, are you guys close to being back to where you were, or is it just kind of a shell of itself the way it used to be?
I mean, it seems pretty close to getting back. Obviously, there's like a lot of extra precautions. Like, on set, I just recently did Showdown on the Brazos, which was really exciting. We won monthly semifinalist at the 2021 Changing Face International Film Festival. So I was stoked about that. But they had a COVID person on set that constantly checked on us, make sure that in between takes we're wearing our masks. You know, we constantly have hand sanitizer and all that. So it's kind of like we have that extra step of making sure we're safe and healthy, but we still are trying to get back.
Well, isn't it ironic that you mentioned Showdown at the Brazos, which happens to be a Bill Foster project?
Yeah.
Bill just happened to be a guest on this reunion episode.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's crazy how everything is intertwined. So the first time you were on talking, I remember we talked a lot about your kids, and you laughed a ridiculous amount. And you told me about all these projects you had been working on, and you even told me about some espionage where you had written like a screenplay, I believe it was, about the virus, and then somebody stole it from you.
Oh, yeah.
Not stole it. Let's don't use the word stole. They borrowed it without your consent. Let's say that.
I don't know for sure if like how much of people's ideas came from that, but I was like so shocked because I wrote that before anything happened, and then, you know, all this craziness, COVID happened, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm editing my screenplay about that I wrote before this even happened.
And
but
somebody.
I submitted it to a couple film festivals, and I was one of the official selections at the 2020 Hollywood Jumbo Screenplay Festival, so I was really excited about that.
Fantastic. All right, besides Showdown at the Brazos, what else do you have going on right now? Catch us up in the world of Charlie Marie.
Well, one thing for sure is I decided Marie is my middle name, and I decided to go back to being Charlie Quevedo because
okay.
a lot of people thought I was like French or something, and
okay.
I'm actually, you know, Mexican and Filipino,
okay.
and obviously also white, which is what everybody thinks I am first.
Okay.
But I was like, you know, let me go back to my culture a little bit and just say my name, Charlie Quevedo. So that's one of the biggest things that I guess I finally kind of like put that out there instead of just keeping it simple, Charlie Marie.
Okay. All right. You heard it here. You heard it here. She's no longer Charlie Marie. Don't call her by that name ever again.
I mean, it is my middle name, so it's okay.
But okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, let's see, what else is going on? Just, there's like so many things I'm working on writing right now. I have a couple of projects I'm helping another friend edit, and we're setting up like, there's two different horror film shorts that we're working on trying to find funding for. But the biggest thing is I am a detective in this movie called Wicked Ally. And my name's Detective Michelle Featherstone, and basically I am trying to find this totally crazy guy that went around just killing people, and it's a psychological thriller about his, like, how he dealt with things in high school and how he's back to, like, avenge himself.
Okay.
And that movie I'm super stoked about because I get to work with Kane Hodder and Tuesday Night and some of, like, the really great people from before.
Okay.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
Now, the two projects, the horror projects you were working on, we don't want to release those names right now because somebody might try to steal that work from you also, correct?
Maybe, yeah. Plus, I'm kind of, like, waiting for, you know, the permission to go ahead and talk about it. Right.
Oh,
now,
okay.
We're waiting for, like,
I understand.
We're looking at funding and stuff like that first.
I understand.
It's not quite in the production stages yet.
One thing I've learned about interacting with the Hollywood types, it's a lot of hush-hush, a lot of clandestine type stuff, so I don't push the issue, you know, because I understand, you know, certain things that, for example, I had a guest, Sean Kanan, and I mentioned to him that because he was in one of the Karate Kid movies, I said a natural fit for him would be Cobra Kai, and he, you know, adamantly denied it. I don't think I'll have any part of, you know, any affiliation to that project. And then I find out in this current season he's actually has a role in it. So I understand how you people work.
Oh man. Yeah, I can't mention the horror film projects.
I understand.
But when I can, I'll be back on, I'll talk about them.
Okay, we also, the first time you and I talked a long while ago, we talked about how hard it was for you to juggle the world of acting and then, of course, your main job, your most important job, according to you, was you're a mother. How are the kids?
They are doing great. Last year, they had to do school from home on their iPads, which was such a pain in the butt. But it did give us more time to, like, we went down to the San Diego Zoo a couple times, and, you know, we had to wear our masks, but nobody was there, so we got to, like, look at animals and stuff. So we were able to spend more time together, even though it was difficult for them, like, school-wise, to just only be on their iPads. And now they're back at school. It is difficult because if anybody has, you know, gets too close to anybody else with a high fever, everybody screams COVID. So then they have to stay home for a certain amount of time and then they can go back. But it's honestly, it's better to keep them safe. It's just hard with the back and forth. Like, we get a call from school, somebody had a high fever, keep your kids home for 2 days.
Right, however
long they say.
All right,
and
so
we can bring them back when they say it's okay.
How old are your children now?
So my oldest is 9.
Okay.
And then 7 and 4. So they're all kind of school age right now.
Okay. So are any or all of them, are you starting to work them into the industry yet?
When they want to do stuff, I try to, like, teach them a little bit here and there. Like, my daughter's really interested in, like, you know, she was asking me recently, like, how do you make yourself cry? Like, on command kind of thing. And so we were talking about that. My son will try to jump around and pretend he's Spider-Man because he's 4 and
right,
she's
Spider-Man. Right, of course.
And so just of little course. Things like that. But I haven't put them in any projects yet just because I want to make sure that, you know, I want to protect them and keep them safe. And when it seems appropriate, then I'll be able to do that for them if they want to. You know, I kind of want to make sure I support their dreams too.
I was just wondering first. If you were, like, you know, wrangling them up and running them down to open casting calls, you know, just, you know. I call it the Macaulay Culkin effect. I didn't know if you were, like, trying to get the whole family in the industry or what the deal was, so.
I see it as it being up to them. You know, if they want to, of course I'm going to support them. But if they want to do something totally different, I'll support that too, you know?
I understand. And not to mention, it's a tough business. I mean, let's get mom established first before we start trying to wrangle in. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, it'd be tough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point. Yeah, get you established first. Yeah. So, anything. Now, here we go again. And you already said you couldn't mention the two projects, the two horror projects. Am I going to ask you a question like, hey, are we going to see you in anything in the next few months, you know, but on the big screen or on the streaming services? And you're going to go, well, I really can't talk about it, but possibly. And then 3 weeks from now, I'm going to see you in something. Is it going to be one of those situations? Or are you going to tell me up front and go, no, I'm working on some stuff, but I don't think you're going to see it in the next, you know, 2 months or 3 months, whatever.
No, I'm really big on honesty. I wouldn't lie to you. But I would say, like, oh, I can't say if that was the case.
I understand.
Right now, I don't think so. The biggest thing is Eternity, the one that I was associate producer on, script supervisor.
Right.
They want to bunch of stuff. We were award winner for like 4 film festivals, the Global Film Festival Award of 2021. That one's on Amazon now, so that one's a big deal, but I'm not actually in that one. I was just associate producer.
So if you have Amazon Prime and that project is available, as the credits are scrolling off, we're going to see your name in the final credits.
That's right.
But not Charlie Marie, because you took your real name again.
I think they may have still put it as Charlie Marie, because that was before I switched over.
That's like an error card in baseball. That movie's more valuable now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so what is you see how long it's been since we've talked? July 10th of 2020. It is now, what is it, like December of 2021. I don't plan on it being this long again before we talk. But let's say it is. Let's say it's 12 months or 16 or 18 months from now before you and I get a chance to sit down and do this again. Where are we? Like, what's the goal in the next? Now that the industry's kind of back up on its feet, you know, and kind of running as smoothly as it possibly can, Like, what are some goals and aspirations that you have for, like, the next year, for example?
Well, for the next time, you know, I'll be able to say, like, yeah, I am in this, you know, box office hit or whatever like that. Something like that, where I can say that, and I'm telling you, you know, yeah, I'm on this Netflix show that, you know, my kids and I can enjoy, something that's, like, you know, family-friendly.
Right. Or not family-friendly. I might lead off by going, hey, Charlie, I caught you on an episode of Yellowstone last week. Amazing. You know, that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. It'll just be something real nonchalant. Like, oh, yeah, I just happened to pop in for an episode of Yellowstone. Or, oh, I'm a voice actor for one of the Simpsons episodes next week. Or just whatever. You know
what
I'm saying?
Cool.
Yeah, just be cool.
Or, talked to the Kendrick brothers, and I'm like, hey, you need to come out for that premiere, like we talked about before.
Oh my gosh, I had forgot we talked about the Kendrick brothers. I forgot about that. We sure did. You should be writing your screenplay so we could get it submitted to them. And you can film it right here in Mississippi. We can meet in person. Maybe you could slide me into a guest spot. I'm just saying.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Sure, no matter what.
There you go. There you go. I don't know where we premiered in Mississippi, but okay there. All right. So
even if we came out here, we'd have to fly you out. You know?
Now that you've updated everything, now that you're not Charlie Marie, you're the new Charlie. Maybe you should do like Madonna and just go by one name, Charlie. Just say it.
I wanted to do that, you know? And just, my dad was like, "You're not a singer though, baby girl, you're an actor."
Oh my
like,
gosh.
You have two names.
That's true. Well, Cher was a singer, but she's also an actress. Just saying.
I could try.
The next time he gives you some lip, that's what you hit him with. All right. So, get everybody caught up now that your whole world's been updated, including a new name, like you're using your real last name now. Like, where can we find you? Like, where can we track your progress now?
So, I do have a website. It's charliequevedo.com. But I'm going to spell it just because it's kind of hard. So Charlie without the E, Charli, and then Quevedo.com.
Oh, yeah, I'd never got anywhere close to that. I was nowhere even close to what you just spelled. All right, Charlie Clavado, is that how you're saying this?
Quevedo.
Yeah, Quevedo.
It's even harder.
.com, you said .com? That's the easiest way to find everything you got going on.
That's right.
All right. Outstanding. Charlie, let's not make it 18 months again before we talk, okay? I mean, okay. technically for the, well, to be fair to the listeners, you and I have chatted off and on periodically throughout this. We hadn't been 18 months since we actually spoke to each other. All right.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about for the viewers, for the listeners. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Can't thank you enough. I'm super excited to find out that the listeners wanted to see you or hear you as part of the reunion show. I can't thank you enough for coming on because I know how busy you are. Like I said, you're super busy out on the West Coast, but you also got three kids you're trying to raise. So I did that myself. I don't know if I could handle three kids that age anymore. That's for sure. So. Anyway.
Well, I'm thrilled to be back on, and I appreciate everybody for wanting me back on. I appreciate you for, you know, letting me back on, and just thank you.
Hey, you know you always got a friend in Mississippi if you ever get lost. Just call me up.
Thank you so much.
All right, have a great evening, and I will be talking to you later, young lady.
Thank you.
And as always, guys, Wally out. Charlie, that was...
This podcast is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and for contact information on publicist Steve Joyner.